It's Tuesday, September 19th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcasts.com. Aloha, everyone. I've got a great show for you. We're back in the saddle. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and hey, it's good to be back in the saddle. Good to be back putting some tech shows together. It's amazing just how much can happen in the tech world when you've really been disconnected over the last couple of weeks. But I tell you, I'm glad to be putting a regular show back in order and bringing you a great podcast tonight. I hope everyone had a great weekend, and I hope that your day back to work was good. I know that I have just absolutely been slammed. If everything from doing homework to getting ready for midterms to doing stuff at my regular job, you name it, it's just been stacked up. But let me give you a little bit of an update here in a few minutes. But first of all, I want to thank all of you that have been long-term subscribers to the show here. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana. And, you know, you really, really are. You're all just an extension to the family, my regular family here. And I want to thank all of you for all your comments, well wishes, voicemails. You know, I'm going to kind of point out three people in particular sent voicemails that really stood out. Dan from New York, Scott from Tucson, and Tom. Hey, thank you so very much for those nice voicemails you sent. And, of course, the thousands of you that sent emails and stuff, much, much appreciated. It was definitely was healing in itself. But let me give you an update on what's going on. Wow, I tell you, you know, this week, I got back last Tuesday. And to be quite honest with you, I wasn't fully engaged all the way up through about Friday. And finally, Friday evening, I kind of got motivated finally and sit back down Saturday morning, and I had 2.5, almost 3 weeks worth of homework to do for my college courses. And I spent all day Saturday and half of the day Sunday getting caught up. And boy, I tell you, it was tough. It was tough getting through all that stuff. And then, of course, I realized when I got everything turned in Sunday afternoon that midterms start this week. So when it rains, it pours. It really does. So I've got my hands full, and wish me luck and not blowing these tests out of the water. But I've been working on getting ready for a podcast expo. I've got all the banners ready, kind of getting the game plan together for the award ceremony. Oh, it's just so many different things, so many irons in the fire, handouts we're going to have at the booth. You name it. It's just a lot going on. But if you're going to the Podcast Expo in Ontario next week, you'll definitely want to come see us. We're going to be in booth number 413. It's essentially second row up front near the front of the convention center. We're going to be in there. And we'll have some laptops up with the sites, and we're going to have some handouts and some cool swag. I think we're going to have some of the coolest swag there. We've worked really tough on worked really hard on making sure the swag was right. The award ceremony is shaping up very well. I've gotten most of the feedback from most of the podcasters that have won, and so we've gotten their bios and everything, so we're putting the program together. I am missing a few, so we're going to be contacting them this week so we can get that finished up. The trophies, oh my goodness, the trophies are, you know, the company that produced our trophies is out of Tennessee. And they're the same company that do the Country Music Award, the bullet, you know, the big crystal bullet that they hand out for the, I guess it's CMA Awards. And they're the ones that designed our custom trophies this year. These things are absolutely beautiful, laser etched, the whole nine. We went all out, and I think that this is going to be a something that is going to be cherished for a lifetime you know, something that's going to be cherished for a lifetime for those that get one. What else is going on? Well, just give you a little update on the home front. My niece is going to be going into surgery on Thursday. It was supposed to happen last week, but they had some complications, so she will be going in on Thursday to get some surgery for fusing C1, C2, and they've started to let her wake up a little more. All the signs are very encouraging there, so I'm pretty happy with what's going on. Well, not happy, but I'm encouraged by what's going on with her in intensive care. You know, I hate to say it, but this afternoon, you know, my mom calls me. She goes, hey, your grandmother fell down and she's in the hospital. And I'm like, what happened? And she says, you're not going to believe it. She broke her hip. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Well, they've got her in the hospital. They're going to do surgery on her tomorrow, replace the hip. And, you know, that's pretty tough for a 95-year-old woman to endure. So my thoughts going to be with her tomorrow. Boy, I tell you, it seems like it's one thing after the other. But she's in good hands with the doctors there. So, you know, how much more? It's crazy. It really, really is. My wife was and I were talking on the phone, and she's been dealing with 6 kids. And just think about that. She has been babysitting 6. Now, for those of you, fellas, I don't care who you are, 6 kids will drive you insane. So we've had a couple of late night sessions where I've had to cheer her up a little bit, and because she's got her hands absolutely full. And but she's planning on starting her trek back here to Hawaii with R3 in tow on the 26th. So I'll be glad to get her back here. Matter of fact, she gets home the evening of the 26th, and I leave the morning of the 27th for Expo. So it's going to kind of be a high five here. But, I've been kind of letting laundry go. So I'm going to have to do laundry and make sure the house is as she left it so that I don't get that stern lecture from her. And as much work as she's done, it's going to have to be absolutely spick and span when she gets home so she doesn't have to deal with any mess that I've left her. But I think that's, see what else we got here. We talked about we got a roundtable coming up this Saturday. So we hope that those of you that have attended the techpodcast.com roundtables would do so. We're going to be getting all of the stuff finalized and what we're going to be talking about to bring that to you. And of course, it's sponsored by GoToMeeting. And with, online meetings save you time and money, but with so many choices, which one is right for you? GoToMeeting, the easiest to use web conference services. With GoToMeeting, you can hold meetings with just a click. You can show any application to your attendees, even if they don't have the same program. You can record your meetings for playback later or post on your website. And I really like the drawing tools. And they it makes collaboration so much easier. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. And thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor of our roundtables over there at Tech Podcast Network. So we'll have that on Saturday and 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. And we're probably going to open up the lines a little bit and let some of the participants talk about some of the things they've got going on. It's going to be a pretty informal program, so we hope that you'll join us on Saturday for that. I almost forgot. If you're going to Expo, I'm looking for someone to run my high-def camera when we do the award ceremony. So if you got some good skills doing video, drop me a line. I'm really looking for someone to be a good cameraman running that, someone that I can trust that gets some good video. You can drop me a line, of course, at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, I do have a whole bunch of stuff that came in via voicemail. Because it's been so long since some of the other shows were on, I may play some of it I may not. Thanks for your feedback. And, of course, you can always call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Let's see here. I've got that covered. Talked about that. All right. I guess we're good to go. Let's take care of a little business here. Of course, why just get a domain name when you can get it all? Register your domain name with GoDaddy.com, the number one domain register worldwide, and get free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code GEEK5, G-E-E-K-5, when you check out and save an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Thanks for GoDaddy for being one of the being the original sponsor of the Geek News Central podcast. All right, got some good stuff for you tonight, folks. You know, it was actually kind of a slow tech news weekend. I was kind of watching the stuff filter in, seeing the stuff that came in today, and I found some cool stuff that was being reported, some stuff that's actually been in the news already that probably you've all heard about already, but I'm going to cover some of it as well. I'm going to get up on my soapbox. But the first article I found tonight comes from a website that talks about a baffling new planetary discovery. And what this blog post goes on to say, it says a Jupiter-sized planet has the density of a quark. And this is a planet that has been found 450 light years away in a constellation called Lacerta. And it's the first planet found by the Hungarian Automated Telescope Observing Network, HAT-P1, which is going to represent a new class of planet entirely. And what's kind of cool about this article is it goes on to say that if you could build a bathtub that was big enough to set this planet in, the planet would actually float in the bathtub because the, you know, they're saying the density is it's only as dense as cork. And yet, you know, think about that. Think about that for a second. That's some pretty far out stuff that would kind of warp your brain a little bit to wrap, you know, get your idea wrapped around it on how this could possibly be. Scientists are a little bit puzzled, as they could be expected. But, you know, they're saying this is very unusual, and they're doing a lot of study on it. And it's got the attention of a lot of different astronomers. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see what they determine on this. But isn't it amazing? What I find amazing is here you've got a planet that's 450 light years away that they've detected, and they actually can tell the density of it. My friends, that is simply, simply amazing. So we will we'll follow this a little bit and see what happens in the future. A link, of course, will be in the show notes. And what else are they going to find out there? That's some amazing stuff. All right, Mark Cuban has got a post up on his weblog, says the coming dramatic decline of YouTube. And he's essentially brings some questions to YouTube. You know, essentially, is YouTube going to become like the next Napster in that so much copyright material is making its way onto YouTube? At what point will the content providers come down and put the hammer on YouTube to remove all of the copyrighted material? Now, I wrote about this in my blog today. And my take on this is with the expansion of all this new media that's being created and a webcam on every desk and, you know, people just finding all kinds of cool stuff, shooting little videos with their cameras, I mean, with their cell phones and, you know, everything else that's going on out there and user-generated content, I really don't think even if, now you guys tell me, do you think that YouTube would not be as popular as it is today if they had to remove or ban or censor all copyrighted material? Would YouTube's popularity stay the same in just user-provided content, stuff that you and I create? I think it would. And I think the reason why it will is because there's groups being formed within YouTube that are following certain genre of topic matter. Now, Andy McCaskey's been doing a very interesting experiment on his show over at slash.review.com where he's got users. He's got a user group essentially within YouTube, and then users or listeners are submitting videos to that feed or to that group that they think is associated with technology. And I don't know how many total videos. I think he said 23 or so videos have been submitted already. But Andy's using that as a way to connect his listeners together. I think it's a great idea. And may do it over here. May give it a try and see how that happens. But, you know, I think Mark's wrong on this. I don't think YouTube is going to be another Napster. I don't think that, you know, if I was a major producer of content, like, let's say, CNN or Fox News, and someone was taking segments of my shows and putting them on YouTube, and Fox still has their branding there, and, you know, it's just a short segment of commentary, and of course, some of it can be attributed to fair use, but we'll see. I guess we'll see what happens. You know, news stuff, I'm sure, is okay, but what happens when people start taking, well, they do already, mainstream movies, anything else, so what do you think? You think YouTube will be declining because of the copyright issue? That's the key word there. And I have a tendency at this point to, again, not agree with Mark Cuban. Okay, Google Video. There was a gentleman, and I got to feel sorry for this guy. His girlfriend was involved in a contest on during a basketball game where she was walking around on the floor blindfolded, and she had to find some mascot that was for some bank thing where she'd win some money, etc. And it turns out that the mascot was actually her boyfriend in disguise, and after she found the mascot, he took off the mascot cape or top or whatever it was, got down on his knees, and proposed to her, and she said no. Oh, boy. You know, you better have your ducks in a row if you're going to ask a woman to marry you on national TV and at a basketball game where there are thousands of people. This guy must have been crushed. You know, talk about being embarrassed. And she literally ran off the court. So, any of you out there, any embarrassing moments like that where you said, oh, I wish I wouldn't have asked that question in this place? I'm sure we've all had that happen to us from time to time, but oh man, I just can't imagine being that fella. He must have felt about 2 inches tall. And of course, the commentary on the basketball court, he did not give him any mercy. No mercy whatsoever. Okay, next article up is, you know, how many of you remember, now this is going to show my age here, the $6 million man, and then, you know, there was the Bionicle Woman and all this stuff. Well, there's some research, or actually a lady that's out there right now, is a woman that can actually feel when people shake her prosthetic hand. They're getting these prosthetics so advanced and so hooked up now, is where when someone actually touches the prosthetic device, they can actually feel it. She can actually feel a sensation of touch. And they've rerouted some nerves in this gal's shoulder, and to some healthy muscles, and it's amazing. It's amazing what they're being able to do here. And the question is, how long will it be before they're going to be able to, you know, give people new limbs that'll be functional, that the people will be able to control? It's been some amazing advancements here in this field, and of course they're starting to do what they're calling a nerve transfer procedure. And, of course, a lot of times when these amputations happen, you know, nerves are cut, right? So they have to find a new place to connect them to, and the sensation that may not be completely the same, but it's almost a matter of retraining the brain to say, oh, you know, that touch that's going on in my prosthetic device that's being felt in my shoulder, you know, it's kind of a new way to relate. So I think it's very, very cool. Someday, I'm sure they're going to get it to the point where they'll be able to find the right neural paths to be able to tell the brain, trick the brain into thinking that this is an actual, you know, an actual connection point to where it originally was. So we will see. But very, very cool. First bionic woman can feel it when people shake her prosthetic hand. Very cool. And this is on the website, phys.org.com. All right, I'm a big fan of Adobe products, and I have Adobe Photoshop CS2. I have Adobe Go Live. What else do I have? I've got two or three other Adobe Illustrator. I've got three Adobe products. I really like them. And if you're a Mac user and you've been wanting to use Adobe products, the next-gen Photoshop CS3 is going to be able to be run on an Intel-based Mac. So it's good news for those of you that I like the Adobe suites, and looks like that Adobe is making great progress in getting all of their suites set up so that you'll be able to use them on Intel-based Macs, of course, along with the regular PCs. So we'll see what happens there. Looks like spring of 2007 is what we're looking at for the new software suite to be released. And it's also going to be combined with software technologies from Macromedia Corporation, which Adobe acquired last year. They were handing out some of these pre-releases or these beta releases at an event earlier this month. Been nice to be able to get my hand on one of those. I'm sure they'll be up on the net at some point here in the near future for testing. But all kinds of suites coming out. And, you know, those products are not cheap. And, you know, when you start paying $400 for Photoshop, and luckily the upgrades are relatively inexpensive, but that first whammo is makes you gulp a little bit. All right, this next article brings up a challenge that all of us have been faced with. And I'll be honest with you, you know, if you're a very mobile person, you know, depending on where you're at, you may only have your mobile phone. You may only have web-based applications available to you. You may be on someone else's PC. And yet you want to have the full breadth of synchronization available so that you can access your schedule, you can access your calendar, your email, all through various sources and keep those all synchronized. You know, it's very, very tough today. So there was a gentleman that set out to be able to synchronize Microsoft Outlook at multiple locations, Google Calendar, Gmail, iPod, and his mobile phone. He wanted to have this so that he would sync information to all those different devices. And here's the setup that he was trying to sync. Microsoft at Work for professional scheduling, Google Calendar for personal scheduling, Gmail for email addresses, Microsoft Outlook at Home for contacts and addresses, is Nokia 6682 for access to contacts, calendars on the go, iPod for access to contacts and calendar on the go. So what he did is he went out and tried to figure out if there was a single application out there that would do all this for him. And what he found was Schedule World. And it wasn't an application that he'd used before, but it's the glue that he found that would hold all this together. And he's come up with an amazing tutorial on how to be able to synchronize essentially multiple devices so that you have a one-way, two-way sync of calendar, contacts, email, all this cool stuff that you normally, you know, they say when you're on your PC and you're in front of it, you've got all this information here, but, you know, when you're on the go, you may want to use your mobile phone. So he's got all this information on how to sync all this stuff up together, and it's not very difficult at all. And he's got it all laid out, and it's all automated, and you know, he's the questions he kind of asks, why would someone want to do all this? And he goes into some various reasons why. And but I think the tutorial here is one of the better ones I've seen in a long time. And I've always found it frustrating. I really have when you're trying to I want to run one master schedule. You know, I want that just that's it. That's what I want. I don't want to have to go through and, you know, and do it in several places. But I would like to be able to, when I'm doing my schedule, push that somewhere else. And this is where the beauty of this comes in. So I have this link up. It's actually at a website at engtech.wordpress.com. But I'll have the link up in the show notes, of course. If you are looking to synchronize your devices, you'll definitely want to check this out. Okay, the next article up is it's about a cool thing. It's called Dig Notify. And if you are, you know, if you're a big follower of Dig and you submit stuff to Dig, you know, you may want to know when someone else has dug a story that you have submitted. And, you know, it sucks just to go and keep reloading a page to see if the number counts went up. So there's been a little application that's been put together that'll actually detect someone digs your story that you've submitted. So you put the link up to this, and it's a very simple little application that runs on the desktop. And looks like it is utilized within, you may have to be running IE to do it. I have not loaded it yet. Doesn't say the requirements. And actually, yeah, it looks like it's going to require, No, it looks like it's just required to run Windows. It runs as a desktop application, so you don't have to use Internet Explorer to do that. But it'll keep checking back and see when your stories are dug, so you can go and do an update when you need to. There's a cool article over on InfoWorld. You know, Boeing shut down their connection service, and it essentially become a big money pit. So this kind of closed the door for the possibility of us power users to be able to get to internet access while we were airborne. But there's new people at the helm trying to come up with some ideas. And one provider's planned is in-flight Wi-Fi and voice services that are going to arrive a little later than expected in the U.S., but U.S. business users should keep their eyes open for some good news here. A company called AC Bidco LLC won a U.S. federal communications auction earlier this year for the 3 megahertz of radio spectrum to be used for in-flight communication services. I don't know how much they spent for this this bandwidth, but what they're going to roll this into is they're looking to run this into a broadband application. They're going to plan to set up 802.11/B/G access points in planes, and then they're going to have this all tied into what would be kind of like a DSL quality type of connection. Possibly being able to even make voice IP calls through it if the airline allowed it. And so this is pretty cool. We'll see what happens here with if they're able to put this together with their spectrum that they were able to license from the FCC. I think it's big business. If someone could really get a handle on this that would make it easily deployable for those of us back in the cattle car. You know, be honest with you, though, I think the only way this is going to succeed is if the airlines get off their lazy butts and put electrical sockets in every row so that we can be plugged in. Of course, we're going to talk about running laptops in the air here in a few minutes, too, because some of my predictions are starting to come true. All right, there's an article over on Wyze.com. It's about the search engine called Wyze, and it's actually a spinoff of a story here about a company that bought made a search engine that was called JUX2 that was sold on eBay. They took that technology that they bought, and I think they spent like $100,000 for the search engine that they got on eBay, and then they spun some of that technology into doing content aggregation, which I'm all about. I love doing content aggregation. But they used the search engine to do this content aggregation through meta searching, and they were able to come up with a consumer service that gives summaries of expert and user reviews of hundreds of reliable experts and sources on specific products. So if you haven't used Wyze.com before, you may want to check that out. It's a pretty cool site. I've used it before. It's a great place to find information out on products. But this site was essentially a spinoff from technology that they bought on eBay. And I think it's a product that people like to use. And, of course, I've used Wyze.com several times myself. So if you haven't, check it out. A great article on how they use a part of a technology that they bought to bring a new website to the space. All right, there's an article out on who came up with this information here? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce today announced the 5 leading causes of data breaches and offered immediate specific prevention strategies for each. And for those of you that are business owners, that if you have a business that takes Visa. One of the threats here is storage of magnetic strip data, and apparently this is one of the most common causes of data breaches occurs when a merchant or service provider stores sensitive information encoded on the card's magnetic strip in violation of the PCI data security standard. What happens here is when your card is swiped and they send the information off to the clearinghouse to make sure that you got enough money or enough credit or however it is that they do that process to make sure that you're authorized to walk out of the store with a product for paying for it. Instead of getting rid of that information that was swiped, the actual device stores it. So they're finding out that that's one of the number one security breaches Of course, number two, this is probably a pretty standard across the board with merchants not having doing security patches to their applications. Of course, number three, use of vendor-supplied default settings and passwords. You would be amazed, I am sure, at the number of people that never change the default passwords. I bet you there's millions of Wi-Fi routers throughout this country that have the manufacturer's default password running on them. So, you know, if you're going to do it as a consumer, you're going to do it in your business too. And then it talks about, you know, some actual hacking techniques with SQL injection, where criminals using a technique to exploit web-based applications. And then, of course, unnecessary and vulnerable services on servers. And we found, too, you know, after, we've been running some servers for a while, that, you know, when you boot up a Unix-based box, there's a lot of stuff running that you never, if you're not using it, shut down those services, closes some of those ports that are open, and, you know, just makes your box a little bit more secure. But if you're a business person and you want to check this out more closely, the link will be up in the show notes. All right, while I was gone, and essentially with no connect, actually I was following it a little bit. I saw a couple of articles on it about this HP spying thing, you know, where I guess now the CEO has stepped down. She caved to the pressure, in which she should have. She should have stepped down for the craziness that HP was doing. You know, just think about that. You go to work, and you're working for a company, and it's happened to be a board of directors, and the CEO takes it upon herself to hire a security firm to find out who you're calling, to find out all kinds of interesting information on your phone records. You know, talk about an invasion of privacy. You know, talk about being illegal. Well, apparently it's much, much worse than what's been previously reported. And those briefed on the company's review of the operation say that also the detectives tried to plant software on at least one journalist's computer. Can you believe this? That would enable messages to be traced and also follow directors and possibly journalists in an attempt to identify a leaker on the board. They tried to put software on some, they tried to put probably some sort of spying software on someone's PC. You know, I've got an HP computer sitting here on my desk. And if it wasn't for, you know, this is just beyond belief. I guess the people that are supposed to be fired were, I think there's going to be congressional hearings on this as well. And I hope someone is criminally charged. I guess it was a CNET news reporter that was the one that, where the software was attempted to be put on. I guess the detectives tried to plant software. And simply amazing here what HP did. What would you do if your employer got records on you like that? You know, if they went and hired someone to, you know, act like you on the telephone to get your phone records, to, you know, all this information that's out there that you don't necessarily want someone else seeing. It's privately held. Just unbelievable. Really, really is. Shame on HP's board. And I'm glad they fired that chick or made her resign or whatever the situation was. It's just going to maybe set the tone for other companies not to do this naughty stuff. You just wonder how many other companies actually have. All right, there's a website that I use all the time, and part of it is to check out my broadband speed and also check out the speed on my EVDO card when I'm in different areas. And it's one of the coolest ones out there. It's over at speakeasy.net/speedtest. And they've got one of the coolest speed tests visually going on, and you can choose servers in different locations, and they'll give you a comprehensive download speed and also upload speed. So you can check out what your actual broadband speeds look like. Now, I'd be honest with you, I did a test from New York here to Honolulu, and it's reporting that my download speed is 3,523 kilobits per second, and my upload speed is 272 kilobits per second. You know what? They're lying. I never get 272K up. My upload speeds on Binary type files is like, if I'm lucky, it stays like between 30 and 35K. And that's on a dedicated box. It's not having any other uploads. And you know, what is the deal? I don't believe these upload speeds. And I know this is pure text that they're sending, so I'm sure that it makes a big, big difference, because pure text will go up much, much quicker than an actual graphic or a binary file, a compressed binary file will go. The download speed I can probably bite off on as being close, but anytime you start having to download a lot of graphics or any type of programs, you're never going to see this 3523. And I can't remember, I haven't tested my EVDO since I've been back. I need to do that. I did get some email from the folks at Sprint. And I tell you what, we've got some people that listen to this show that work with Sprint. And I want to appreciate everything that they've done. They were real good when I was out in Michigan. I was out on the fringe, folks, you know. And here's kind of what would happen. And when I first, about the first week I was dialing in, I've got an Earthlink account that I dial into. And it's on a secondary phone that's on a fax. And one day my mom said, hey, I need the fax to be available all day. There's going to be some stuff coming in, and I needed to get some access. So my Sprint phone that I had that I'm testing through their Sprint Ambassador program had no signal. I mean, I'm out in the boonies, folks. And I said, there's just no way that EVDO card is going to be able to detect a signal. So just on a whim, I plugged it in. And lo and behold, even though there was no signal, it connected. And I got an email. I basically talked about that on the blog, and I got an email, or someone made a comment on the blog explaining why. It was because voice channels are like given 4 dB of power, where the data channels are given 16 dB of power. And that's where it was essentially a power issue. There was more power there, and I was able to actually transfer data. Now, because I was out on the fringe, there was no a 3G service available, of course, but it was just like being connected kind of almost on dial-up, and the speed was maybe as close to dial-up as it could get. But again, I had no bars. There was no bars on the online indicator that was based on the system. But I was talking to the folks out there and the people that read the blog and listen to the podcast, and they said, hey, Rev-A's coming on EVDO. And this is what it's going to be, and here's the maps, the how we're going to roll stuff out. Folks, there is hope yet that even where my mom lives today, that within the next 3 to 6 months, depending on when they roll Rev-A in that area, I might actually be able to get her hooked up on a broadband speed via EVDO that will exceed what dial-up is, because looks like she's kind of in the area of a tower. She might be as many as 7 miles away, 7 to 9 miles away from where the tower is, where the proposed tower is going in. So all I can do, I guess, is cross my fingers that it's going to happen so that she can get broadband speed. But they've asked me if I want a Rev-A card, and I've been told that I will get one at some point. And, of course, they're getting ready to roll some new phones out as well. And I think I'm expecting a new phone. I haven't heard 100% or not whether I'm going to be getting one of those. But, hey, I'd be very honest with you. Sprint has been awesome. It really, really has. The service has been awesome. And they're not paying me to say this. But, you know, they kept me connected when there was no other way really to get connected. And, of course, the closer I got to any major cities, the signals went up, the speeds went up, and it was very, very cool. All right, how many of you have always, you know, you get some software, or you get you load an application, and you can't find the product key? Well, you can retrieve serial numbers or CD keys from your computer, and there's a number of products out there. If you need to recover your Microsoft product ID, your Microsoft Office XP key, there's some tools out there that allows you to do that. It's called Key Finder, and it's going to allow you to find other keys from other applications. So I'm going to go ahead and link this up in the show notes, and I think it's free. It looks like it's free on this website. And I found this at raymond.cc. I'm not familiar with the blog, but it was linked in from another site that I'm familiar with. So I like his site design too. It's pretty cool. I like the cross tone on this actual site design. So I think you guys will agree when you see this site that his actual blog has got a really, really cool design. All right, there's a good article over on GigaOhm at GigaOhm.com, and it's entitled, Is Steve Jobs the New Lord of the Rings? And it talks about something that Jobs demonstrated at WWDC in using four simultaneous spaces open and displayed as the tiles on the screen. And if the prediction here is correct, Apple could be getting set up here to really do some major, major damage to Microsoft. And I just take it for what it is and kind of explain what is being displayed here. Take a normal computer screen, split it into fours. Of course, well, that's going to make all of the applications smaller in each of the windows, depending on how big of a screen you've got. If you get one of those monster 20-some inch or 30 inch or whatever those size screens are that Apple has, it costs like $1,600, it would probably be okay. But if you've got like a regular 19 or 21 inch screen, you split the screen into four, and then taking applications, taking things from one window, dragging into the next, and doing some collaboration work, it's basically gives you a little more workspace to work in. But here's the guess on why they're going to do that. People are kind of saying, oh, it's kind of a big deal. Why would you want to do that? And, you know, people are kind of demoaning him. But the guess on the GigaOhm that website says is that because Apple has released Bootcamp, where you can run Microsoft Windows within Bootcamp, they may get it to the point where you have and because you're running on an Intel-based processor with multiple cores, you take let's say a single core and run Apple on that, a single core and run an instance of Windows. You have the multi-pane windows, and you drag from one operating system to the next. Oh, kind of cool, huh? How about let's add this to another? Let's go to to these quad cores, where you may have a Linux operating system running in one, Apple in the other, or actually OS X, and then Windows in another. Interesting, yeah. And that's through the use of the virtualization product called Parallels, where you could do that as well. So, you know, Bootcamp actually boots into it's separately, so that wouldn't work. But if you're using some of these virtual applications, could be that Apple's setting up to, through this, these multiple window spaces to be able to interact instantaneously. You click on a window, shoop, it brings it to the front. You're working in Windows. You press a button, it minimizes it. Shoop, you click another, and you're in OS X. You got the best of both worlds. So this is idle speculation, but it could be game-changing for both Apple and the entire PC industry if they do this. This could be a coup d'etat. It really, really could. So we'll see what happens. I'll link up the article. You guys can read it in detail and see what he thinks. Let me know what you think as well. I'd like to hear your feedback. All right, new media picks of the week. We wouldn't get by with the show without Robin Good's new media picks. And I'm not going to go through all these, but he got something here that I found very interesting called Smart Video Channel. That'd be a site to definitely want to check out. Of course, Live Documents is another one. Web Shoots is another one that looks pretty cool that's doing some online photo album stuff. And there's several others in here that you can check out as well. Okay, news out of the cable industry that they've racked up over 1 million voice IP subscriptions in quarter two. That's huge. A million new voice IP customers. And, come on, Time Warner here in Honolulu. Get my speed up so I can trust you guys to go on voice IP. I would sign up, but the speed here I don't think can handle it. When I'm doing all these multiple applications, I'm afraid I'd get on the phone and it would go... All right, let's see. I'm going to skip that. I had an article I was going to talk about Adobe building web conferencing into Acrobat. I'll link that up in the show notes. Let you guys read that yourself. The International Space Station, man, it is like a hub of activity right now. The shuttle just left, and they're going to be landing tomorrow if all goes well. And then there was a Soyuz that was launched to the ISS today, bringing a new crew up. So, man, they are there, like, staying busy, busy, busy. And there was also a leak on the actual International Space Station today where they had to kind of go to GQ, and they found one of the oxygen generators was causing some sort of chemical to spill over, and it was causing fumes. So, you know, just all kind of the ISS, a hub of activity right now, but the Russians are keeping everything busy, and they've got a Soyuz launch to the International Space Station. Let's see here, what else? I think this is close to... Oh, I got some more. I got more here than I thought I did. Warner has announced a deal with YouTube. They're going to be doing some collaboration, revenue-sharing deal between video startup YouTube and Warner Music Group, and it's going to be likely to be the first spate of content distribution partnerships between websites and music companies. This is pretty big, folks. Them teaming up with YouTube to put licensed music on the website. Very, very interesting. We'll see where this goes. And they're saying that consumers are going to likely have access to Warner Music videos and songs by the end of the year when YouTube rolls out an advanced content identification and royalty reporting system to help minimize the copyright infringement. So we will see. Of course, you know, they really are going after this ringtone market. And with the, I wouldn't be surprised if Warner signed a deal with the MySpace folks as well. So good news for YouTube. There's a professor out in North Carolina who is offering his course lectures as paid downloads, as podcasts. And essentially what happened was, is if a student missed class, he would say, all right, you can go online, get it. It's going to cost you $2.50. But the school wasn't very happy with that, and they've asked him to discontinue the paid downloads. And he's kind of laughed because he said, this isn't big business. He said, I've only made $11 before the lectures were pulled. And he says the money simply goes towards defraying his recording and editing costs. Well, I can understand that. $11, you know, that probably doesn't even pay his hosting bill for a month. So we will see what happens here. But if the professor needs a place to place his podcast, I'd be more than happy to host them for free. So if you're down in North Carolina and know this professor, let him know that Todd is going to host his podcast and he can put them up and not have to worry about the school having to charge for him. I'll support any educator out there that's putting educational content up on the net. All right, Seagate has hit new heights in disk platter density. It looks like they're going to be able to, here very shortly, to be able to come out with a laptop hard drive with an areal density of 177.8 gigabytes per square inch, which could end up being a new 200 gigabyte laptop hard drive from the company will be on the way soon. And they're saying also that if Seagate can deliver these super high density drives to the market, you could see a 500 gigabyte laptop hard drive, very, very cool, or even a 270 gigabyte hard drive for your iPod, or a whopping 2.5 terabyte drive in your PC. Now, that's what I'm talking about. You know, the less number of hard drives we have to be running, folks, in our desktops means less heat. Keeps your air conditioning bill down. All right, do you remember I predicted the airlines would start banning the use of laptops in their flights? Virgin Airlines is the first one to come out and say that Apple and Dell laptop owners traveling on Virgin Atlantic international flights are being asked to remove the gadget's batteries before takeoff, and they're going to limit laptop use as a majority of the seats on Virgin jets are not fitted with power sockets. And this could be a sign of the times, folks, to, sir, not only do you have to turn off your laptop, take out the battery, please. So we'll see what happens here with this continued explosions of these laptop batteries. So we'll see what happens. All right, iPod fans shunning iTunes store, not surprising. They're saying Jupiter Research is reporting that on average, only 20 of the tracks on an iPod will be from the iTunes shop. And I can probably say that's probably how many is on my iPod. So this is bad, bad news for the music industry. And they're saying that most people are just going out and sneaker netting the music back and forth with their friends, or ripping them off ripping CDs to MP3. So what's going to happen here is I'm sure the music industry is going to take this report and they're going to go out and say that everyone's being continued to be evil and probably put more restrictions on Apple and everyone else. All right, Microsoft is going to be taking on YouTube. Microsoft is set to launch on Tuesday a beta version of a new service that lets people upload videos of their cats dancing, babies laughing, and teenagers playing the air guitar. Microsoft's new Soapbox on MSN video site takes on the popular site YouTube. So Soapbox on MSN video. That's the code. I guess it was co-named Warhol, and it's going to be eventually integrated into Windows Live Messenger. So that's kind of cool. Soapbox, that's kind of a cool name. That's what I like to stand up and yell on from time to time. So we'll see what this looks like tomorrow when it's released. And, I'm, you know, video, baby, that's where it's at right now. Everyone is after the video, 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 video. Okay, the Microsoft Zune MP3 player has been revealed. Let's see here. Apple upgrade. Let's see, you know, let me see here. Microsoft has released more details on the Zune. It's a new family device and service which include a iPod-like player. We knew that the first Zune player will have a 3-inch screen, a 30-gig hard drive, built-in Wi-Fi, and an FM tuner will come in black, white, or red, and it'll be here for Christmas. And prices look to be around $249. Walmart's saying $279. We'll see what the actual price turns out to be. But I think what I like about it the most, it's got that big, big screen. And I think that's where the challenge is going to be for Apple to compete with this. You know, the iTunes is obviously well, I mean, the iPod is well integrated, and they've announced some new products as well here. But I think it's going to be, this is going to be interesting to see how this is going to shape up. And, of course, it doesn't come out without some issues with DRM and Play for Sure. Questions being asked on this new Zune player. All right, I'm almost at 51 minutes. I'm going to have to wrap this up here in a second. I got just a couple of more articles. There's been a bit of an uproar about a story on an 82-year-old widow who's been paying to rent a phone. You guys remember that when back in the old days, we actually had to rent a phone from the phone company? Well, apparently she's been renting a phone for the last 42 years, and over those 42 years, she's paid over $14,000 for the use of two rotary phones. Now, my grandparents still, their phone, when you dial it, it's a digital phone, but it's still and I think a lot of people are affected by this. They say that there are nearly 750,000 people nationwide that still rent their phones. Yeah, I bet you those are almost all elderly people, and that these phone companies are probably, you know, they're taking advantage of them, where they're charging them $29.10 every 3 months for a phone. Can you imagine that? How many phones could you buy a year paying a rent of $29.10? So for those of you that are out there that have elderly grandparents, make sure you help them get dialed in, get them a phone they don't have to pay the phone company for. Take care of them. Do your civic duty. That $29.10 every 3 months on Social Security benefits without, you know, people with not with good pensions, that's a lot of money. Go out there and take care of the elderly in your community or those that are less informed. All right, I think that's it tonight, folks. These audio comments, you know, I appreciate you guys sending them in. We're out of time tonight. That's from shows 2.5 weeks ago. I think we're just going to skip them. I really do. I want to go ahead and kind of put these in the hopper. And I do appreciate your comments, so I listen to all of them. Thanks for sending me in. Of course, you know, fire me up on this show, and we'll get them in the next. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Thanks for being with the family here, being part of the Ohana, and please stay subscribed. And you know what? Let's get out there, and you guys tell 5 friends about Geek News Central. Get them to subscribe. Let's get the numbers up. It's podcast listening season. It's starting to cool off in most of the United States or the lower 48, and it's time to help me build this audience, if you would. So, again, if you're a first-time subscriber here, listen to the show for the first time, hey, I hope you hang out for 2 or 3 shows. And we're all ramped up and ready to go to Expo next week. But send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Again, the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. from historic Fort Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. Until next time, aloha, take care. We'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.